You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, a mental performance coach and a former professional hockey goalie. Join me for open conversations about mental health, mindset, and performance. Let's get into it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Athletic Mind. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, and I'm really excited to bring a very special guest today. Also very spontaneous, kind of last minute recording day of, which literally never happens. But Kalees, thank you so much for jumping on today and being a guest on the show.
Well, hey, everybody, and thank you for having me. It's an honor, to say the least.
We've known each other now, what, like over a year, something like this. Now I've been doing like our accountability in 2024, which has been super, super helpful for me. Yes. I also assume for you too.
Definitely.
But ironically, like, have never actually met in person. Gotta love internet relationships. But you've also had a lot going on in the last year too, both including playing pro, retiring, now living with your pro fiance also, and traveling God only knows how much and how far. But I would love to, like, for you to kind of introduce yourself, your background, talk about how you got into your sport, and then we can kind of dive in from there.
Okay, well, I've pretty much known I wanted to play basketball my whole life. I'm Swedish American, grew up in Sweden. My dad was a former pro, and he like came over with the first Americans to Sweden and play basketball and kind of loved the lifestyle and ended up staying in Sweden. Hence how he met my mom. And then I grew up in Sweden. I always knew I wanted to be basketball player. My mom played a little, while she was young. My dad played pro, he coached, my brother played pro, and so it was kind of like the natural way or the natural sport of choice. Like, nobody ever forced me into basketball, but just because we always talked about basketball, I was always around it.
It was natural. Genes, sounds like.
Yeah, it was definitely in the genes. And it's funny you say genes, because my dad always used to say that to my brother and how it was in our genes. And when I was younger, I was like, yeah, well, my genes are blue, and they'd like busted out laughing because I didn't know what genes actually meant. I just thought it was like the fancy words. Funny that you say that. So I always knew I wanted to play. I always knew I wanted to be like better than my dad and my brother. My dad had a gold plaque at the City College in New York. He showed us once when I was younger, and I was like, well, I want mine to be bigger and I want to be better. So I think that was like an internal drive of mine, just knowing that he had a plaque, and I always wanted to like things to be bigger and more famous. And usually I played a lot with boys in the summer times. I mean, at that time of age, like, a lot of girls weren't really working out in the summer, were super scared of like playing with guys, and I was just like, I was so competitive that was just my natural way to get extra work in. And also just being around like the team my dad coached, and I just always like hop in, even at a young age when he coached younger teams, I'd always just be around the boys. And I think that's also why I was always so competitive. And I think that's also why I advanced, because I wasn't afraid to go out and lose, but also win against guys or just people that are better than me. And so I usually played like levels up my age. Even in high school, I played with like, or even when I was in junior high, like I played with varsity, like, and I was just always ahead when it came to like, it's a little different from how it is in the States, like how you play with JV, like, or high school, stuff like that. In Europe, it's like you play with your club teams. So I always played with like the ones that were older than me, until then I got with the national team. So obviously then you get put in your age group or whatever. But I mean, I participated in, like, in the under 16 national teams, under 18. Didn't do under 20 because I was in college, but yeah, I played senior national team. So I basically went through the whole national team route of Sweden. But going back to like playing high school, and then I went overseas, or I went to the States, because that was the only way for me to like keep playing basketball. A lot of people at that time weren't going to college, they were just going pro, which was national in Sweden, just because we had a pro league, and people were still like, the States was still a little undiscovered, only a few people went. I got a full ride to go to Lamar University in Southeast Texas, for a guy who recruited me for TCU, but then got the head coaching job at Lamar, and he was like, come with me and change the program. And for me, it was like, cool. Like, we went on a visit, my mom and my dad, and it just felt right. And I've always been a person to trust my gut, always trusted my gut, and kind of done some abnormal choices to a lot. But I mean, for me, it was just, that's, I prefer to make the decision and look myself in the eyes and know I chose this route.
I love that.
Instead of having like outside influences. Yeah, I did 5 years at university. I was redshirted my first year because my grades didn't really fully transfer, because I didn't do like the traditional high school like in the States. So there was like counting errors or points missing. I was literally like 0.2 points away from like being eligible, which we also like fought against the NCAA, but you know how the NCAA is. So
Yeah, for sure.
lost that, lost out my first year, but it was fine because it helped me transition also into like the lifestyle of living in the States, college. It was all foreign to me, even though I'm like half American. I never really lived there. I was only there summer times with to see my family. So that was also just new, living by yourself, 18, being on a college campus, like so many things that were new. And that first year really gave me just a year to settle in and like understand, even to school. Like, we don't have multiple choice in Europe or in Sweden, not non-existent. And the States, it was multiple choice, and I was just like, what is this? Yes, yeah, so I did 5 years out there, and I started as a freshman, and I had a really good college career. I finished as the all-time leading scorer, top 10 in like multiple categories. Yeah, and I had always also said that when I was in the basketball gym, I was like, why is there no women's jerseys retired? Like, there's been women before me, like the woman who ha held the scoring record. Like, why isn't her jersey retired? Or why isn't there any other women's jerseys retired? And I always questioned that, to like very people very high up, or like positioned very highly in the org, like at the school. Like, why is there no women's jerseys? And I was like, well, mine's gonna be retired, just so you know. And I just kept on reiterating that. And I just knew like, someone's gonna go up there, I'm gonna go up there. And so when I broke the school record, I'm like, okay, like now you have to at this point, because if you haven't retired anybody before, like you're gonna have to do it now, because it looks bad on you as well, because you're not showing love to the women that contributed to this program. So I mean, I knew that it was gonna get retired at that point, knowing I had broke the school record. It was just probably like a matter of time. And yeah, graduated with a double business double bachelor's in business. And I just knew that I needed to go to Europe and play professionally. Like, WNBA was kind of like out of the question, because I came from a small mid-major, and a lot of WNBAs like po politically like it's just very a lot of politics that go into that. So it was just never kind of the route for me, although I always wished to be able to play in the WNBA. And then I went to play overseas. I went to Romania, which was like not my top choice. Like, being a European person, knowing all the countries in Europe, Romania wasn't on the top of my
For
list.
sure, for sure. I get what you mean.
Yeah. So, yeah, for the people who don't know Romania, it's just, Sweden's a very, very developed country, high standard of living. Romania is not.
Yeah, for sure. And like I can also kind of like attest to this because when I first moved to Europe and I was coaching in Hungary, like Hungary is better than what Romania is. And
Definitely.
still, like for me, the experience in Hungary was not anywhere near like what it was when I moved to Norway, for example. Like huge difference, night and day, quite literally. You know, for example, like I didn't get paid on time, or like at one point they just completely decided that they were not going to pay anymore. And I was like, okay, well then I'm not going to stay here, you know? So totally understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, so I went to Romania and like we had me and my agent, we had a goal in mind. Like we played for a Euro Cup team, so playing the domestic league in Romania, but also playing against teams across Europe, to get my stocks up, to get some visibility. And so going to Romania with that in mind, it was also easier because I just knew that this was like the first step to get somewhere else. But like you were saying, like getting paid late, they would show up to my house with like a stack of money in an envelope, and I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? Like I can't just travel. Cool if you give me one envelope, but I can't travel with like all the season's envelopes back to Sweden coming from Romania with no pay stub. Like yeah, it just very
I've heard of some similar stories in the hockey world. I can also Yeah, I totally get it. I've also heard some stories of people coming back from like Russia, for example, in men's league, and they're like padding all of their gear with loads of money and
Yes,
stuff. It's crazy.
it's real. So I knew that it was just like a one stop, and like it really humbled me in a way that like the high standard of just everything is just humble yourself, get the job done. And yeah, so I was just eternally grateful when I got out of there and signed a contract to go play in France, which was like not one of my dreams, but definitely one of the leagues I had like hoped to go play for, because it's highly respected in Europe and just it holds a high level, just quality wise basketball and just standard of life. I knew that I was not cut out for the type of life that was in Romania or Eastern European countries. I knew that I'm more of a Western European girl, or yeah, I
Or a
needed
Nordic country gal for sure.
like I needed clean hotels. I needed, no, to know what kind of meats I'm eating on the plate. Like
It's
we would just.
stability. I think stability is what you're like talking about more than anything. It's not just like the finance part, but it's also like, yeah, I want to make sure that we like the schedule is set in stone. I don't have someone
Definitely.
showing up with like cash to give me, or maybe just not paying me at all. Like I feel in West Europe, the regulations around those things are so much tighter, and like you have to follow them, and if not, there's
Yes.
huge penalties for it. Whereas in East Europe, they're a little bit more lax, maybe a little too lax with some of those
Yeah.
things.
Like
Yeah,
sometimes I'd
I
have
get
to take
it.
my own foot, like in or like when we were in Romania, like in France, there was definitely like a trainer to tape my feet. So it's like just basic stuff like that. But yeah, I did 4 years in France, and that was I tore my Achilles twice when I was in France, back to back years. So that was one of the I think that's like one of the roughest injuries that I've had, not tearing it once, but tearing it twice, like literally like on the year mark.
So let's talk about that just quickly, because I know I want to talk about a little bit like the highs and the lows, and also just kind of shedding some light on the pro basketball experience for women in Europe, because obviously it's different from country to country. It's most likely, I would assume, very vastly different from North America to Europe as well. But let's go through what that second tear was like and working through that injury and, you know, the support that you needed to be able to make it out on the other end.
Okay, yeah. So first things first, if you ever have if you ever end up being injured, France is definitely the country to be injured in, just because they cover you. I mean, you get sick leave. Like the club pays you out your full contract through the government. But also, like if you're a European person, and you're covered in the off season if your injury like takes that long to recover, or going into the next season or whatever. I mean, there's stipulations around it, but like you can even go to like rehab centers in France, which I've done on the coast, like just enjoying myself, like doing rehab all day. But yeah, definitely. I think that sometimes you don't take advantage of the opportunities, like even if you are injured, but you don't take it you don't take advantage of the opportunities presented because of like playing in systems like France where you can do that. And also just knowing that, hey, like I'm covered financially because I'm injured, like this month, this injury is going to take me 9 months to recover. Financially, I'm good. Like I don't have to worry about paying out of pocket to get a therapist. I don't have to worry about all these things because I'm covered through the government. So like in that sense, like France is definitely the place to get injured, although I don't advise getting injured. Secondly, I mean, it was hard. I think the first Achilles tear was harder than the first one was harder than the second, because the second one was kind of like I already knew going into the situation what to expect as far as like rehab. Yeah, especially the rehab, because I knew exactly what it is I needed to do. The things I realized that I was like, okay, I need to do things differently, because whatever I did the first year didn't work, in my opinion. I mean, it did because it got me back to playing, but obviously I re-injured. So I'm like, all right, we need to rethink some things. And so I started looking at rehab as like my full-time job. So things like eating well, like while it's easy to like get lazy while when you're injured, I like stocked up on like supplements, nutrition, took that to like the T as far as like, you know, no alcohol, no nothing. It's easy to just fall into bad stuff just because you're, I mean, some people legit get depressed when they get injured, the sport that they love get taken away. But I was, you know, if they told me like, you need to stay on the couch for the next 2 weeks, like I was legit on the couch. Like I'd get up, get some fresh air outside the house, be back on the couch, and I would literally not do anything. I was doing everything according to like protocol, and I was so ahead of the protocol by not even doing any like anything outside of what I was supposed to do. And I give that as a testament to like paying attention to sleep and recovery, because also when you're injured, you might not sleep as have the same type of sleep schedule. But like that's where you recover that injured body part, and just going to sleep on like consistent times, getting 8 hours of sleep, like I said, taking care of the nutrition, basically taking care of all the things I could do on my end, and then just letting the body do the rest and trusting that the body would do that, and then also adding a mental performance coach to that.
There we go, so many good points to talk about, and I'm happy that you said like you chose to like learn from the first time and apply different strategies going into that second one. Because, and I kind of relate this to when I had my knee surgery, for example, like I'd already done that same exact, not surgery, but I've done that same exact injury 3 times prior. Obviously I'd done a lot to be able to get back to playing, but it continues to happen. Right. And so when you said that you chose to actually take this as like, this is going to be my job, I'm following protocol 100%. I think it's really important, especially because I find oftentimes athletes are just so eager to get back and play that they're like, oh, well, like it feels okay, so I'm just going to jump back in. Or, and like even sometimes coaches, and I kind of talk with my partner about this too, you know, when you have guys that are injured or girls that are injured, like I think it's really important that you have to trust your athletes as a coach that they know their bodies better than you can speculate from the outside looking in. So like making sure that you're listening to your body, especially as you're going through that rehab journey, so you're not pushing it too hard, and also that you're not taking it too easy either. So like, sure, you were told 2 weeks, like stay on the couch. So that's exactly what you did. You go outside, get some fresh air, come back in and rest. Well, if you're at the very beginning of that journey, it makes sense. But if you've already been prescribed some exercises to help kind of get the mobility and start to work on that strength aspect, then I think that you have to really pay attention to how your body feels in that respect too. And that's kind of same for me when I was going through my knee injury, like the rehab after surgery. Like I wrote everything down. I tracked absolutely everything. I took videos of everything because I wanted to make sure I was seeing progress along that way too. And that was also, again, in tandem with the mental performance coaching as well. So let's talk about that a little bit. Like, how did that play into your rehab protocol?
I think most people, when you get injured or have a serious injury, you have those ghosts in your head about just trusting your body part again. And I think that was one of the things, having done it once prior and knowing that, like, with the severity of my injury, not just because it's like it's an Achilles tear, but it was like location, the type of tear, there was just a lot of factors that didn't play to my advantage. Like, even my doctor didn't really want to sign my release papers. Like, his advice was stop playing basketball, even though rehab and my progress was going really good. He was just like, it's just so complex with your situation that, you know, you might lose your, like, part of your future as far as like being able to, you know, play with your future kids or just being able to do things that you might want to normally do, but you can't because you've, you know, tore your Achilles for a third time. So I understand. And it was really hard for me to understand at the moment, like when he didn't want to sign it, because it was just like, bro, like, I'm doing everything right. But obviously he was coming from a medical perspective and he's only right to give his medical opinion. I mean, he ended up still signing me off because I didn't sign with the team again. But just those things, knowing the doctor doesn't advise you to keep playing. I've done it before. If I tear it again, then my career is like legit over. So having those things in my head and knowing that, like, I feel good, like my body feels good. And this is also a testament to like me knowing myself. And I was like, I know I can give it a shot and I know it's going to be well. And so being able to separate the two, find strength in myself, and having a performance coach to like help me tap into that. And a lot of it was doing the regular things good and practicing the way I play and play the way I practice. So like making sure that if I do all these things for the game, then why am I not doing those things for the practices? Why am I like showing up to practice and just like going through some drills and then saying I'm ready to play? Like, but for a game, you do an extensive warm-up. So like making sure that both are parallel, because at the end of the day, there's no difference between them. It's one counts towards like the team record, whereas the other one is just practice. But in essence, you're still going through the same motions. You're still putting in the same amount of energy. So making sure,
or at least you should be.
Yeah, exactly. And so just making sure that those things correlated, that I was doing the stuff I needed to do for games, that I did those for practices, and making sure I just had a plan going forward for that. And then also just learning to trust myself and understanding myself a little bit more. What are like my triggers? What am I scared of? Am I scared? Am I going to, you know, you've done the work. So trust your body. How do you learn to trust your body? And I definitely pay it. I didn't do any more like mental coaching after that, like off season with that trainer, or I mean with that coach, but it set the way for the rest of my career. I mean, I played like 6 more years after that without an injury to my Achilles. So.
Hey, kudos. That's really awesome to hear. Thanks. And it's also interesting that you bring up, you know, like what were some of the fears coming back from that injury? And I feel like that's also a very common thing for athletes as they jump back into playing after a serious injury, especially something as serious as like tearing your Achilles or tearing any sort of ligaments, where the rehab process is pretty lengthy. And it's also extremely painful to go through those type of events. Definitely. So like the mental trauma, let's say, and the emotional and physical trauma of that event, like it sticks with you 100%. So I'm sure, especially, I don't know if you injured your Achilles the same way both times, but with my knee injury, all 4 times it was the exact same movement. And so you can imagine, like, after the surgery and going through all this rehab and then getting back on the ice, like I was really tentative about getting into that position move, or going through that movement. Yeah. But I had to apply those same strategies to be able to work through that trauma, because I'm not going to be able to play at my best if I'm constantly sitting thinking in the back of my head like, oh, what if I injure myself again or something like this? Like you can't play at a peak state if you're constantly worried that something is going to happen.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think for me was one of the things is I didn't have a clock ticking as far as like when you need to be back. Like I had signed a contract for the next season. They knew I was coming off an Achilles tear. They never pressured me to be like, you need to be back by X, Y, and Z. Now the timing was that I was supposed to be back, but they were also open to like, if you know you're not, then we'll just keep you on medical leave until you're ready or whatever. But I think that the biggest thing was like, I wasn't in a hurry. I was also super in tune with my body. Like when I went back to playing, I didn't have pain. And also learning to understand pain, because some pain is okay pain, but if it prolongs, as far as like, if you have pain after practice, cool, rest, sleep. If it still hurts tomorrow, then maybe it was too intense. If you don't have any pain tomorrow, cool, manageable pain, normal pain, because you're going through emotions or whatever. So also understand your body, what is tolerable pain, what is like too much pain, leveling up slowly, like not going into like a full season, but going into, hey, you're doing one basketball session this week, you're doing two this week, three this week, like really slowly, just gradually moving into basketball and just really taking my time. I think that was also it. Like I said, team not being pressuring me to get back at any specific time. And yeah, understanding pain when you also be like, hey, like my Achilles is saying, like, you can't go anymore. So for the longest, like I never did double days, or I never did double days back to back. Like I could do double day, and then I needed to have like a day off in the morning. At least I needed 24 hours to rest. And I was very open about that for many years, like even with the national team. And I was like, that, take it or leave it. I was totally fine by being cut or people saying like, nah, it doesn't work for us, because this is what my restrictions or boundaries was. And if they accepted it, cool. And if they didn't, then I was also okay walking away from it, because I knew my body that well. National team never had an issue with it. My team's never had an issue with it. So, I mean, it's just a telltale sign that like, I know my body well. Never abused it to get out of like double days back to back, but also, hey, like I have an injured body part. And
And now for a quick word from our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly.
Yeah, and I think it's also really great that the coaches and the staff and the teams were also okay with that, because like I said, you know, in other leagues, whether that be women's or men's, whether that's basketball or not, there of course is more demanding coaches and staff and management and might not respect something like that. So I think one, it's great that you know your body well enough to say like, I know where my limits are, but also to have the confidence to say up front and be willing to turn down some of these teams, especially like for a lot of people, like the idea of playing with the national team is absolutely huge, right? And so like to be okay to turn that down if they were not okay with it, I think speaks a lot to how comfortable you are with yourself and also the respect that you have for your body and your well-being as well. Because not a lot of athletes that I know would say, well, okay, like, I don't really want to play with you then. A lot of them would say like, well, like I need to play, or I want to play, and this is where I want to play. So like, it's a sacrifice that I would just like have to make.
Yeah. No, I think that's just because I knew that I was like, I couldn't jeopardize my Achilles. That was my Achilles heel. So I couldn't jeopardize
my Achilles was my Achilles.
Yeah, definitely. I knew that I couldn't sacrifice. I mean, yeah, jeopardize that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and kudos to you. I think that's really awesome.
Appreciate that.
And, you know, you said you got to play another 6 years, which is super great to hear. So you had a long pro career in Europe, which is great. Were you in France for all the rest of those years, or did you also go to other countries too?
So I did another season in France, like that the year after I had tour it. And then I decided I had like enough of France. Like I really enjoyed France, but I kind of had seen it all, been through the league, like different teams, and I kind of wanted to get a little bit more out of my career as far as like seeing the rest of Europe, playing in different countries. And so like the Italian league was it was coming up, and good money to go play in Milan, and I'm a city girl, so like going to Milan to play was amazing. I still attribute this to one of the best years of playing in my life, or more so outside. The basketball was cool. Like, we did a lot of things. It was their first year in the league, so obviously not as like high of an ambitious team, but we went to like the cup final, which was huge. We went to playoffs, and their first year back in the league was huge. But just my life there, I had a great set of teammates. We just did a lot of fun things, and you know, you never know who your teammates are going to be. You never know what the season's going to be. And just like looking back at it, I just had the time of my life there. Yeah. And then after that, I went to Spain. And that's the year COVID happened. So obviously got there in September, and then COVID happened like in March. And it was kind of also a very quick thing where it was like that weekend's game was canceled. And then it was like an emergency meeting Monday. And then Tuesday people found out that like Americans are leaving. And then Wednesday it's like, well, you can't leave because the league hasn't, you know, decided that the league is over, but like, you know, Americans got the message that, hey, you guys need to make it back to the States because we're closing the border. And I was like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, I'm still in Europe, like no problem. And then they were like, oh yeah, Sunday, Spain is closing their borders. So like Friday or Saturday, I'm rushing to get out of Spain because I'm like, I'm not going to be stuck in confinement. Like, what is, first off, I don't even think none of us knew what confinement was, but I was like, well, I need to be out as well. So I like got on the first trip to back to Sweden, and in Sweden, we obviously, I think for most people know that we were very restrictive when it came to like what we were doing as far as like COVID. So I went back to Sweden and it was just regular life where I see everybody else is like locked in their houses and just miserable. We were actually pretty okay. I mean, death tolls unfortunately happened. They happened all over the world, but I was never like confined, so I was happy that I was in Sweden for that period of time and did my due diligence by going back to, well, I went to work for the hospital as a, actually got a job working for the hospital in the emergency warehouse or whatever. So it was also fun in a sense to feel purposeful in my, in what I was doing. So I did that like March through like the whole summer, and then they said the basketball season was coming back, so I went, I signed in Tenerife in Spain, and I was like, cool, like if I'm gonna be a little restricted, I went to a place where it was like palm trees and sunny beaches, so it was really nice, playing in Tenerife other than getting tested a million times a day or the week. It was fine, but I unfortunately didn't get along with my coach at all. There was a lot of issues with my coach. And I just, we couldn't see eye to eye. And I had decided that, like, also payments were late. And I was just like, hey, you know, part of the stipulations in a lot of contracts is you don't have to practice until it's been a certain amount of days and they haven't paid you. So like I started sitting out of practices at per my rights, and coaches were getting pissed because you're not supposed to technically get punished because you do that, but you do. Classic. And then like, and then you do. And he was like, well, if you just, you know, if this is what you're going to do, you might as well just leave. So me and my agent was like, cool, we're going to leave. So with, you know, without the club knowing, we were looking for other teams. And then we finally found a team and we were like, hey, okay. Like, you know, cause he's going to cut our contract and leave. And he's like, no. And he's like, what do you mean? No. He's like, no, I don't, like, I'm not going to sign the release papers. You can't leave. Like, we were like, you've literally told us several times, then leave. We're going to leave. And he was just like, no, he's like, it's a bad situation for the team right now. Like, we've already lost two players. We can't lose her too. And so my agent did all he could. Excuse me?
Then pay me. Like, you want me to play? Pay me on time.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, payments started rolling in. But I'm like, I'm done with the situation. Just dealing with the coach. I was mentally, like, over it. One of the one and only time I actually left because of coach. I've always been like, stick it out, like do your, you know, you signed up for this, like sit through it. But it was unbearable. My relationship with the coach, toxic, narcissistic, like just a lot of bad things. And my agent was like, you're gonna have to tell him basically how much you dislike him. And how bad he is, to where he just doesn't want you anymore. And so I had to have like a really tough conversation with the coach where I was just like, I hate playing for you, don't want to be here, you make me miserable, like really just throw all the words at him just so he could sign my release papers. And we finally came to an agreement for him to sign the papers. Obviously left on really bad terms, like lost out on a salary that I had worked for, and just a lot of other bad stuff, but it was worth it just getting out of that and coming to a better place. And so like I did something controversial, if you want to say. I signed with a team in second division. Like a player of my caliber at the time would have never played in second division, but for me it was about getting my like mental stability back, about enjoying basketball, about being purposeful.
A good environment for you to actually play and function in, for sure.
Yes, it means more than most people understand it to be. And so I went to a team that had ambitions of like going up to the first division. We were in France, so back in like my comfort zone place. It was a big city and just a good overall environment, and knew some people that were on the team, and I was just like, yeah, cool, let's go. So I went there and ended up staying another two seasons. That's where I finished my career. Really enjoyed it. They literally saved me in a sense that I got my joy for basketball back, and finished basketball on a high note instead of a bad note.
That's so great to hear. And like for you to choose like to finish on your own terms, I think is also really great too. And something I of course want to ask you about, because retirement for many athletes, as you know, can be a pretty big challenge. So first, would love to know, like, what made you decide, like, hey, you know, it's time for me to hang it up. I'm ready to start the next chapter of my life, let's say. And how have things been since transitioning out of the game?
So it kind of came upon me, not drastically, but I knew that I was going to retire within the next 2 years. Like, it was just like, I feel like I wanted to do 10 years. 10 years has always been like a goal of mine to do professionally. Anything above that would have been like, great, loved it. But I wanted to do 10. So that was first off, finish off like my 10th year. But then it just kind of like, I had this feeling I came off a really good season. Personally, team unfortunately went back down to the second division. And it just kind of, as we were getting closer to the end of the season, there was just a feeling inside of me like that was telling me like, hey, you're done. Like you've done your 10 years, like be proud of yourself. And I'm ready for the next chapter. And so like, obviously I had been looking into small things of doing when I retired. I also met the love of my life, and he's not the reason I retired. He's absolutely not the reason I retired, but I also knew that I wanted a life outside of basketball. I knew that basketball was my job and I love doing it, but to me also there's more to life than just basketball. And so starting to tap into what that looks like and what that is was important for me also as a woman. The longer we play professional sports, also the longer we offset a lot of other things such as family and just other career options outside of sports. And I felt that I was in a good position as far as like money, life, the way I felt to retire. It wasn't, like you said, forced upon me. It was actually 100% a choice of mine, which I till this day love that I made the decision. And I've spoken to so many people whose decision it wasn't, and how not quote unquote miserable they were, but the fact that they didn't own the decision is been weighing on them. And that I really carry with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can agree as well. I mean, I came back after that knee surgery, took like the year off, and then I only actually played half a season, but I still chose to end things on my own terms, which felt really great. And I think for people who are not able to end their career on their own terms, it's kind of like this constant, like, well, what if sitting here in the background, you know? And I feel so bad for people who do have like career ending injuries, or something happens and they're not able to play anymore, because you're just left with like this, like, I don't want to say nothing, but it's just like this piece at the end where you're just constantly wondering, you know? Yeah. And to be able to end on your own terms is obviously such a very, very big deal. So happy that you had this like gut feeling and followed that gut feeling to say that, okay, like maybe it's time. And to also reflect back and on all the work that led into you being in the pro leagues for that amount of time, and just be proud of yourself. Like kind of like looking in the mirror at little Khalees, you know, young Khalees, and just being super proud of the fact that you were able to get to where you are now, and to choose that yeah, I'm ready to step into this next phase of life. And of course, having the love of your life also makes that a little bit more sweet, I think, too, because you get to also now experience life on the flip side of being a pro athlete, as I am also experiencing too. So I would love to talk to you a little bit about that, because there's, as you know, lots of uncertainty in being a pro athlete. But living with a pro athlete also has many challenges as well. And I know you've been going through the ringer of travel from Sweden to Japan to Korea to US to wherever else you've been. So let's talk about it a little bit. How has it been?
Well, first, thank you. And then also kudos to you for being able to make that decision by yourself. It gives you so much power within yourself. But yeah, transitioning, like I just knew I had so much stability outside of playing that I was comfortable making that decision. Both like financially, being with someone who plays pro sports and like knowing that wherever we go next, it's like together. That was really, or it is really beautiful. And it's very different. I mean, being on the other side of being a pro athlete, now a company person who is a pro athlete. And so I'm definitely going to say that I'm surprised how challenging it's been with like having things out of your control. Usually it's just me being able to handle everything. And now it's like somebody else, not necessarily like my fiance, but like just whoever their manager is. But yeah, it's been hectic to say the least. I didn't think, I mean, I we went so my fiance signed in Japan, and they have a visa rule. You get like 90 days and you can be there totally 180 as well. So trying to move around that part, and yeah, that was challenging. We were almost at the finishing line, and the ability to have stability, which I had a lot when I was playing, didn't have as much now. But I think just the first part of my transition was really nice because I actually just got to breathe. I didn't have anybody breathing down my neck saying you need to be at practice, you need to be here. I was kind of like a housewife for the first 6 months. It was really nice to be a housewife for like 6 months. I'm not gonna lie. It was really nice having like meals prepped for him and just, you know, making sure the house was clean and going on my daily walks and doing some yoga. And I think I needed it. I love my fiance for that, for he never pressured me into like, hey, are you like, you know, are you gonna start working? Like, what are you planning on doing? Never asked, just supported me and was just there, understanding that like transition takes time to find yourself. And so that's what
Physically,
I
it's
did.
great that you took that break too, I think. I mean, after training for X amount of years and being so hard on your body, it's really nice to have that break.
So it was, like I said, really nice to just rest. And then obviously the person I am, I was like, all right, like after the New Year's, I was ready to take on what are we doing with life, and trying to figure out how I like to move outside of basketball. Like, what is my preferred form of exercise? It's been a real struggle, as
Oh my God.
you and I both know.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, do I like, I don't even know if I wi like weightlifting outside of weight like lifting for performance purposes that had to do with
Right?
basketball.
Yeah.
I never thought that I would actually enjoy running because I hated cardio throughout all my seasons of playing basketball. That was the worst part. Yet I've started to enjoy like running 10Ks and stuff like that.
Training for like a
Just,
half marathon, no?
crazy. Never thought I'd be there, but found like that's my preferred choice of movement now, as I don't have access to just a whole bunch of things that I probably would in Europe or in the States. So sitting through that, and then also figuring out what I want to do. And so I'm dabbling in like two different areas. One is health and wellness coaching and performance coaching, and then another one is tech, which yeah, I'm in a cohort, or I just finished the cohort actually with it's called Next Play You, and they help athletes transition into the real world, basically finding jobs within tech. And so basically they, you know, prep us, make sure our LinkedIn's, our resumes, all that stuff is up to date, understanding what interview processes look like, understanding what like applications or systems are used in different organizations, making mm-hmm. yourself more attractable, being able, like I said, to handle interviews. And also, like, athletes' resumes don't really stand out, so making sure or doing the things to make it stand out. And if you mm-hmm. do get a chance to interview, how do you make yourself attractable, and leaning into those skills, not looking at yourself as an underdog, but actually going in with confidence. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they help you also find jobs just because they work with a certain amount of companies, and so also that security with that. And so yeah, I'm not really sure what the future holds as far as like where I'll be at or what we'll be doing, but obviously I'll be with my fiance wherever he's at, and hopefully working somewhere after the summer. But I am doing some with the Swedish national team, ended up doing or making a new position. It's called a player's mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're creating and trying to figure out what this role is. And so I'll be the person together with the coordinator building this role of a player coordinator for the women's under 20 national team this year.
Nice.
And so I'm really excited about applying my skills and what I've learned on the basketball court over the years. And also being able to give back to the basketball community, which I still very much love just from afar, and having a positive impact on young women, because we need role models in such capacity. And it gives me a sense of purpose.
Absolutely. And I'm going to link for anybody listening the URL, the website for Next Play U. So if anybody Definitely. Who is maybe transitioning out of sport, or maybe wants to have like a contingency plan for when you choose to transition, or unfortunately, if maybe you don't choose and you have to make that transition anyway, then that resource is there for you. Also, can highly recommend the Female Factor as well. Neither of these are paid sponsors, so you know, just this is just free resources for anybody listening. But yeah, you can also go check out the Female Factor. We have lots of really great resources on the website there for anybody who's looking to basically build up their career and get into the next big position. So whether you're coach, athlete, doesn't matter. I think it would be a perfect fit for anybody who's looking to take that next step. But yeah, I mean, you've also been able to obviously get this new opportunity with the Swedish national team, which I hope goes well. And I think that all of the players that are in that program will benefit significantly from you being there, not only to share the experience that you have from multiple years of playing pro and also overseas NCAA, but also the knowledge that you bring from the wellness area as well. I know you're working through a certification in like health and well-being, I believe, yes. at the moment yes. too. So lots of really great opportunity for the national team and the players on that team at the moment to be able to connect with you, which is really awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So we've talked about the whole process and what it took for you to get to the pro level, the highs and the lows, some injuries, choosing to retire, and also what it's like to, you know, be engaged to a pro athlete and kind of trying to navigate that entire situation and what you're going to be doing in the future. So usually I always like to leave guests with a little bit of advice from you to the listeners, or I should say, I like to leave listeners with some advice from our guests to them. So for anybody who might be interested in, let's say, getting to playing pro ball, what would your advice be?
In order to play a high level sports, pro basketball, ice hockey, whichever, I think you just have to understand that you're going to have to put in more than the average work. You have to outwork your competition. You have to get uncomfortable. So for me, it was playing with guys.
Mm-hmm.
For someone else, it might be, you know, finding an individual's coach, working on your weaknesses, but you got to outwork your competition and mm-hmm. Also tap into the to the understanding rest, nutrition, and how well-being and having a good mind plays role into all those aspects as well.
Absolutely. Great advice. Thank you so much, Khalees, for joining in today. Where would people be able to contact you if they want to get in touch, learn more, maybe talk about some health and well-being?
Simple, Khalees Lloyd on Instagram, or even Khalees Lloyd on LinkedIn if you want to do it the professional route. Either or works really good for me. But Khalees Lloyd.
All right. Well, I'll put all of those in the show notes so everybody can get there directly through the links. And again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day, especially after some travel from Japan back to Sweden. So I'm really happy that we were able to do this, especially on such short notice. So thanks again.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.